You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
I've asked Tracy Farr, if she would come up and just share a little bit about her go, and then I'll take it on from there. So yeah, let's give Tracy a welcome. Is that, you're on?
Thank you, Tony. Yeah, morning, everybody. Yeah, I've been asked to share a couple of testimonies, and what I want to do is share two, actually, because for those that don't know, I love to evangelize on the streets, and my workplace is my mission field, I believe. Dan and I, my husband, we evangelize on the streets, and it was one particular time, I'll use the name Carl for this gentleman. I was praying and I was asking the Lord for a word for somebody, and what he gave me was he wanted us to go in the park. And in that time, it was what he spoke to me was this: there is a man there that is really, really struggling, very deep in depression, alone. And we walked the park, and we went around a couple of times. And at the end of the sort of walk through the park, this gentleman was coming towards us through the alleyway sort of thing. And I looked and I said to Dan, I said, this is the guy. And he said, yeah, I think it is. So we went up to him and I just, hi, you know, because I think with evangelizing, you don't want to, I don't just go in and grab a minute with my Bible. I try to pick up a conversation, and you know, this guy I could see was so lost, and I just said, good morning, how are you? And he looked at me and I said, we're Christians. I said, you know, we got into the conversation, can I pray for you? I said, I really feel that God wants to speak to you today and heal your heart of some brokenness. And he started to cry, and I said, are you okay? He said, yeah. He said, he revealed the story that he'd lost his wife giving birth, and he was out on his own, and he'd struggled for depression for many, many years. So I just felt that time in that moment to pray for him, and my heart really broke for him. I end up crying myself in most of these situations. And as we were praying, he said he felt something lift from him. Amen. This burden of his heart, this deep, he'd been to many, many counsellors and never had that relief from this struggle of pain that he was suffering. But that day, he said he felt it had lifted. He felt so much peace that he'd never felt before. So that was, thank you, Lord, you know, praise God for that. And another one I'll share is my workplace, because my workplace, I always wanted to go to the mission fields. So that was always on my heart, to go to the mission fields. And I did an online course about missionaries. And what I learned in that, on that course, that actually the mission field could be your workplace, wherever you are. It doesn't necessarily mean it can be abroad, another country. So for me, working in the hospital is my mission field. And God, I prayed about this when I first got this job, and I believe that God put me there to this very day. He opened doors for me to get into the position of work that I'm doing, where I'm able to go all through the hospital and pray for many, many people. Don't get me wrong, I do have issues at times, in the sense people come up against me, and I've been threatened to lose my job twice because of my faith and the fact that I feel led to pray for these people. And I just want to thank the ones that have prayed for me. Diane Taylor, she's a real intercessor, and she has on many occasions prayed for me in situations through my workplace. And I thank her and honor her for that. Recently, I'll just tell you one about this lady I came across in the hospital, and she was there, and I could see a leg in a cast. And she told me a little story about a wealthy man giving money, that was a musician, giving it away to his family, selling everything he had so he could give the money to his family. And I said, wow. I said, what a shame you can't take it with you. I said, so, you know, your heart is where your money is. And she looked at me and she said, are you a Christian? I said, yeah. And she said, oh, thank goodness for that, she said. She said, it's so miserable and depressing in this place. And I said, I'm not surprised. You're in a hospital. There's a lot going on with COVID, et cetera, et cetera. I said, would you like me to pray for you? Oh, yes, please, she said. So I pulled the curtain round. I tried to make it as discreet as possible. And as I pulled the curtain round, I sort of leant over the bed and I said, what would you like me to pray for? And I was guessing it was going to be the leg. And she said, well, my leg's been in a cast for a long time now. She said, 4 weeks ago, they wanted to amputate the leg, the ankle, because she broke it severely. It wasn't healing. And but before I go any further, she doesn't mind me saying about this story. So, okay. So anyway, I started praying because she was going to theatre that afternoon. And she was really concerned of what they would find with this ankle. So anyway, I started praying, and bless her, she gripped my hand that tight, sticking her nails in. I think I was praying through gritted teeth because she was digging her nails into my hand. I was like, oh. But anyway, as I was praying, I felt the presence of God so strongly that when I finished praying, I looked at her and she was smiling from ear to ear. And I said, what, everything okay? She said, no, Tracy. She said, every part of my body is tingling right through my body. She said, I can feel like little electric volts going right through my body. I said, oh, praise God. End of that, went off that afternoon. She said to me, as she seen me, she, Tracy, come back. I said, what's the matter? She said, I still feel the tingling. And I said, praise God. That afternoon, she went to theatre, and as she went down, she was still smiling at the anaesthetist as he was about to put her under, and she was smiling away, and he said, you seem happy. She said, yes. Yeah. She said, because this evangelistic lady was praying for me before I came down. And he sort of laughed. And she said, I don't know what you were laughing at. She said, because she prayed for you lot as well. Anyway, as it the next day I seen her, anyway, praise God, they opened the foot up and all they had to do was wash it out. There was healing taking place already. So I just want to praise God for that. It's all God. Yeah, we serve, and that message that was given earlier about we serve a wonderful, mighty God, and he is faithful. He really, truly is, and he answers prayers. And I just want to say about evangelists, it's not just about evangelizing. We can evangelize by just honoring people around us, in our workplaces, neighbors, words of encouragement. We've all got gifts, and I just feel this is a time that we should all bring out those gifts that have just been dormant. Because we are the body of Christ, and I really feel this is the time to rise up and to encourage each other, to love each other as what we're called to do. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you need to evangelize and go out on the streets, but you can do that with your neighbors in a shopping center, anywhere. I'd encourage you for a week to just encourage one person a day. It totally transforms your heart. And it brings it into alignment of God's heart, of what he's calling us to do. I really feel that because you all have gifts, and I don't want you to waste the talents that you've got, that God has already given you. We've come together. I want to honor you, Anne-Marie. I just really feel that you have come such a long way through such storms. And I do really feel that God is going to use you mightily. Okay, I really feel that. And if there's anyone here today with a ear problem or a knee problem, you're welcome to come and see me after. I'm happy to pray with you. But I just bless you all and I just thank you all. Danny, it's lovely to see you. It's great. And Tony and Leslie, you are absolutely amazing. I honor you too because you have really, really steadfast. You are so humble and I love you guys a lot. But yeah, that's it from me. Wish you all the best. Blessings. Oh, can I just quickly pray for you? Do you mind? Can I quickly just pray for you as a church? Yeah, Father, just thank you, Father, for the body of Christ, for my sisters and brothers, your sons and daughters. I just pray, Father God, that you will do a mighty, mighty deep work in their hearts. I pray for a deep revelation of truth in the knowledge of you. That, Lord, that you will bring out those gifts, that you will bring our hearts into alignment with what your will is, Lord, that we will seek your presence. We will spend time in that quiet place, seeking your face. because you will bring all things together for the good of those that love you. And I just pray a blessing over each and every person here and those ones watching online. Praise you, bless you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Trace.
That's brilliant. That's my preach over. So, well, thank you so much, Trace. It's just it's great to hear the testimonies, but it's also lovely to hear where you see your mission field, which is pretty much where I'm going to go to with this. So, it was a fantastic introduction to what I want to share with us this morning. So, if we can go to the next slide on this. So, just going to remind us of the key scripture that we're looking at over the next, have been looking at, and I'll continue to look at over the next few weeks. And it says, so it's the Great Commission from Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And last week, Leslie shared about our call to go, and that call really started way back in history, way back with Abraham, his call to go, and it's come all the way through the history of mankind. Really, God has called people to go, and right to today, when he's still doing it. Yeah, you through you and through me, the great commission that Jesus gave us. This morning, I'm going to look at a fairly small bit of this text, which is make disciples of all nations. Nice and simple. Make disciples of all nations. And there are two parts to this that I want to break it down into. Firstly, there's the what we do. Make disciples. And then there's the where we do it. But it's not where we do it. It's who we do it to, all nations. Okay, and we'll come back to the all nations bit in a little while. But I want to start off with the making disciples. Now, you know, Trace, fantastic testimony of being able to just go and pray for people and just really follow God by the Spirit. And for some of us, that's not easy. Yeah, it's not easy, you know, and in a sense, going out and actually sort of the making disciples bit, the evangelizing bit, the bit where we've got to try and actually speak to people can be quite hard. And that can be the barrier that we have. And that if we don't somehow evangelize and get people saved, then we've failed as a Christian. But we haven't. We haven't. Okay? You know, I want to encourage us this morning. It says it on there that as we are called to go, yeah, we are called to go. That's our call. Then if we're called to go, then we are already equipped to go. Okay? We're already equipped to go. You see, when Jesus sent out the 12 disciples and then he sent out the 72, he didn't spend weeks doing an intensive evangelistic training course. Yeah? He didn't sit them down and say, "Okay, guys, we're going to go through the five principles of evangelizing. We're going to look at how you can, you know, how you're going to share your testimony." These are all good, but he didn't do that. One day, he said, "Go." Whoa. Where did that come from? See, the reason why he just said go and didn't spend more time training is because they'd already been trained. All the way through their time with him, They were being trained to go. They'd already been given the tools to equip them. Because they had spent time walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus, and praying with Jesus. And that was their equipping. So when they went, the only thing he said to them, I'm going to give you, is authority and power. He said, go out in the power and authority of the Holy Spirit. I have authority, I pass it on to you. So what they were doing, what Jesus was telling them to do, in a nutshell, was do what I've done. You are equipped to make disciples. So go and make disciples. So what does it actually mean to make a disciple? So I want to look firstly at a definition of a disciple. I know it sounds obvious, but bear with me, all right? So a definition of a disciple. Now, I've tried to come up with a nice simple definition. And I found this one, and I thought, yeah, it really works. Okay, so here we go. A disciple, someone who is following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and is committed to the mission of Jesus. Okay? Following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and committed to the mission of Jesus. That's, I think, a very good encompassing definition of a disciple. And we can see where that comes from, because if we go right back to the beginning, right back to that very first time when he called the disciples, he said this, he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And if we look at the follow me, I will make you fishers of men. You've got in a way what it's all about. Follow me. So what Jesus is saying there is become my disciple. Follow me. Make a decision to follow me. Become my disciple. Then he said, I will make you. Well, what that is saying is, I'm going to do something with you. I'm not going to leave you as you are, but I'm going to change you. I'm going to equip you. I'm going to help you to become what I want you to become. But I want you to do it in relationship. It's all about relationship. And then what does he want them to become? Fishers of men. Disciple makers. From becoming disciples, walking with Jesus, to become disciple makers themselves. And that is when we're equipped. So pretty much, Jesus was saying, follow me, walk with me, in relationship. As you do that, I will change you. I will work in your life so that you too can do the same thing when I'm gone. You can make disciples. So it's really, really quite simple. It's not complicated. And so we were looking a while back as a leadership, or how can we define discipleship that makes it easy for us to lay hold of? How can we say something in such a way that doesn't feel scary? Because even when Tracy shares what she does in hospital, I go, I can't do that. Well, actually, do you know what? You can. So we came up with three really, 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 really simple words. This is great. Discipleship is the following. Walk, talk, pray. That's it. How do we make a disciple? We walk, we talk, and we pray. You see, that's what Jesus did. He walked with his disciples. He talked with his disciples and spent time talking about the kingdom of God. If you look at what he did most of the time, he was just saying, let me point you to God. Let me tell you who God is. Let me show you God in my life. And that's what he was doing. And then by doing that, he was pointing them to the person that gives them the equipment to do it themselves. So when we do the same thing, we can walk with people. We can all walk with people. Life is a journey. And we can all walk. Sometimes we'll walk with them for a short time. Sometimes it might be for life. Sometimes it might be just for a period, a season. It could just be a 5-minute prayer. It could be months, it could be years, but at some point we can walk with somebody. We can talk with them about our faith. We can talk with them about, this is God in my life. We can show them through our walk just how God is faithful, his goodness, his love, his grace, his mercy. Because that's what we're experiencing every day. And if we can't simply share that as we walk with somebody, that's all we are being asked to do. We don't need to have a 5-point evangelistic plan to do that. And then pray. We can pray. You see, we can pray with them or for them, and both. Sometimes, again, as Tracy said, let me just pray for you. Can I pray for you? Yes, come on. Bringing kingdom down right there. But if we can't, even if we can't pray with them, we can pray for them, can't we? But ideally, we want to go, can I pray with you? Can we pray together? And sometimes we can be able to do that as well. So it's not a difficult thing to make disciples. And what we do then is we're doing what Jesus did. And ultimately, one day, what we want is to point them through our life to what Jesus did for us, for them to go one day, do you know what? I want to know this Jesus. I want to meet with this guy that you're telling me about that clearly has an impact on your life. You see, that's how I became a Christian. And many of you would have heard my testimony and Leslie's and my testimony about how we became Christians. But when I was looking at this, I thought, do you know what? That's all the guy did. He just walked with me, he talked with me, and he prayed. Ooh! He's got a 3-point evangelism plan. Yay! What did he do? It was a guy called William Dalziel. And I met him in my place of work in Cardiff, and he was one of my agents that I was working with. And he literally did this. He walked with me in my job. I learned to see even though I wasn't a Christian, I learned to see through what I did, what walking with him and beginning to learn about him, what it meant to have Christ in your life, what it meant to have a relationship with Jesus. I could see it in his work. I could see it in his life. I could see it in the way he was. And that attracted me to know more about this guy and about this faith. So we walked together. We built relationship. He was more than just a colleague, or not a colleague, yeah, colleague, somebody I worked with. He became somebody that we got to know as friends. So he walked with us. That's all he did. And then he talked with us about his faith. He talked about, the very first time, literally the very first time I met him, I took him out to lunch because he was an insurance broker, and I was working for an insurance company. Selling insurance to insurance brokers. So he was a new guy on my patch down in Cardiff. And so I said, right, I'm going to wine and dine him, make him give me loads of business, which he did do over the years. He was one of my top brokers. But when I was there and I was, we were going through having lunch, he said to me, Tony, he said, let me just explain to you why I'm doing this job. Okay, I presume it's because you want to make money and everything else. He said, I'm doing this for the kingdom of God. I thought, whoa, stop right there. What the heck is that? You're doing this for the kingdom of God? So then he explained to me, as a Christian, that you know his faith and the way he worked and what he did, and that he wanted to work with people with integrity. And he said, "Whatever I ask, all I ask of you is that you deal with me with integrity." And straight away he lay it out. He lay out his faith on the table. I'm afraid I was a little bit cynical at the time. It was like, whatever floats your boat, all I want is your business. That's the way I was. I wasn't a Christian. But over the weeks and months and years that we walked together, I began to understand what this faith was. And what I didn't know was that he was praying as well. And so what used to happen, he used to have an office. And in fact, he had an office in a cheese factory. He was renting a bit of an office. And the guy who owned the cheese factory was a multimillionaire. And also in the church, the same church. So they were renting. Anyway, I used to go in and I sit down. They had members of staff there. They were doing their thing, you know. And then and we'd talk, we'd do our business, and I'd go out. What I didn't know is that when I went out, they'd all stop because they were all Christian. And they would stop and they would pray for me by name. And I thought, oh, come on. Once I found out, I said, that was a bit underhand, wasn't it? Really? He said, yeah, but it worked, didn't it? I said, yeah, you're right. Because at one point, you know, and then when I became, time moves on, but we get through, we end up, we become, you know, we get saved, we're saved in that church, and you know, yeah, fantastic. And it's afterwards he told me, yeah, we were praying for you all the time. Oh, my mom. Praise God. So yeah, he walked, he talked, he prayed. That was it. That is simply what he did. Okay. So, you know, he did what I'm just sharing about now. And we can all do that. We can all do that. Yeah? Amen? Amen? We can all do that. Okay? So, I want to look at the second part now. I just want to move on to the second part. There's a bit more there, but I just want to move on because I want to come to some words in a minute. So if we believe we can all do that, the question is, who do we do it with? Okay, what is this next bit? So the next bit is all nations. Okay, and I thought, again, it's a really small thing, but I look back and I thought, well, okay, what does all nations mean? What is it? What's the Greek? What's the definition? What does it all mean? And I spent hours reading whole theologies on all nations. And I thought, oh, come on. Be honest with you, I got a little bit. It can't be that complicated, surely. So I went right back to the original Greek. I thought, I just, not that I understand Greek in the slightest, please don't, you know. But I went back to the original Greek. And the original Greek for all nations is panta ta ethne. Well, ethne is our root word for ethnic. Okay? I'm not going to go any further down that road because it gets really complicated. But it is often translated as all peoples. Okay? There are times when it's used by Paul and that's used in other parts of the scripture where it is in context of all peoples. It is also used at times to mean Gentiles. Well, basically, Gentiles were everybody in the whole wide world who weren't Jewish. Well, that pretty much covers everyone, doesn't it? So often they talk about Gentiles and they use the same words. Okay? Because it's referring to all people who are non-Jews. And at the time, obviously what Jesus was saying was, look, you know, this, you know, throughout history, you've been my people. And I've been a very jealous God for my people, but I'm now a jealous God for the world. I love the world. This is not just for you. This is for all people. And so it really is quite simple. Okay? You know, what Jesus is saying when he says, go into all the world, you know, and make disciples of all nations, is this news is for everyone. End of preach. It really is that simple. It is for everyone. But I suppose the question for each one of us is, well, what does that mean for me? Because I can't reach everyone. Yeah? I can't reach everyone. So what does it mean for me? Well, we've seen a lot already. We've had a lot of people sharing up here about their go. We had Beth, okay, first time, who went to South Africa, called to go to South Africa, and then called to go back, come back to the UK. So there is, in a sense, a mission field going. There was a going for her that was abroad. There was Jason, who said he was, you know, felt called to go to Brazil for a period, and came back with a wife, and is now in Leinster, called to move from Hereford to Leinster. So again, there's a bit of a moving going on, there's a bit of a geographical thing going on here. But then you get Esther, last week. Esther Rudge talking about street pastors. Powerful. And we're going to hear more at some point about street pastors and what they do. Well, not just street pastors, but the whole thing that people can get involved in. And maybe that's part of your call. Maybe that's going to be part of your go. Okay? And what they do there. Absolutely fantastic. And then Trace this morning. Her mission field is her workplace. That's her go. Her go is where she goes to work every day. So there are many ways we can go. There are many people that we can reach. And I really do believe that we're called to be in a specific place at specific times so that we can walk with specific people. Yeah? So in a way, that's it. Who are you being called to walk with, to talk with, and to pray for? Who are the people that really go, yeah, I just want to build a relationship with these people. I feel, you know, this person or whatever. Because then that's it. There's your go. And don't think just because you're not going abroad or you haven't been moved to somewhere else or you haven't done a mission course or whatever, that you haven't got a call, because you have. You have. We have. I have. I can remember that when I first got the job in teaching, well, no, actually even before that, when I was working in Leinster and as a broker at this point, and that was a whole new thing where, again, God created a job that didn't exist. I went into one day, I got made redundant. I was working for myself for a while and thought, working for myself wasn't, I just didn't like it. You know, I didn't trust myself. So there was a broker in Leinster, and I just popped in one day and we had a chat. I had a chat with one of the directors and said, we just talked. And he said to me at the end, he said, well, there wasn't a job, but I'm going to make one for you. You know, you think, well, what's that all about? But you know, they used to call me the bishop. Well, you probably don't know. They called me the bishop. Oh, my children. But that's because they knew my faith. They knew what I did. And I used to talk about it. And I remember at one point I had an opportunity to pray for that one of the directors who unfortunately passed away with cancer some years ago now. But, you know, I actually said to him at the time, I want to pray for you. And he said, yeah, okay. You know, opportunity to pray. So, you know, there's that. And then I went to join, I became a teacher after Leslie had done so, and had a second career. And I can remember somebody one day saying, that's a calling. Is it? I just thought I'd just change jobs. He said, no, I believe you're called to do this. I believe you're called to go into the school that you're in and make a difference. And it stuck with me. Yeah, I do want to make a difference. And at times I've probably just become part of them. But at times, no, come on, I'm here for purpose. I'm here to encourage. I'm here to help. I'm here to you know, I don't want to be the same. I want to stand out with my faith. And now I end up working in a department where my boss is a Christian. The guy I work with, another guy, is, you know, who I work with very closely since I've been there, is a Christian. Thank you. You know, great. So God positions us. God puts us in places where we can build relationships so we can walk, talk, and pray with people. Where's he put you? Yeah? Where's he put you? Okay. When I was, when I was praying about this and putting this together, God didn't give me an awful lot other than that. I thought, there's more. And I was really, come on, you know, what's going on here? It seems so simplistic, because it is. But then Leslie shared last week. And one of the things that Leslie shared was, I believe, a prophetic word. I believe she brought some a prophetic push in terms of our go as a church. And one of the things she said was, she used the words that as a church we are coming into due season. Do you remember that? Due season. Now, you know, unless you're a midwife or you've been pregnant or you are pregnant, then you may not understand. Due season often is an expression used when it's, you know, when you are due to give birth. You are in due season, sometime soon. Okay? And it was about that sense of God's bringing us into due season. God's bringing us into a place where there's going to be breakthrough. And so when I prayed about this, and I really believe the Holy Spirit did this, I was reminded of a prophetic word that was brought to this church nearly 10 years ago. Now, you may think, oh, 10 years? A bit old. Well, hold on. We're looking at words that were done thousands of years ago in the Bible. They're still true today. And I believe that this word I'm going to share with you is still an active word that God is working with us today, that he wants to see fulfilled. And I know there are many of you that are new here, and you would not have heard this word. But I want to bring this word back to us and remind us of what God has said over this church, some of which has been fulfilled. And I'm not going to, you know, as I read it, you'll go, oh yeah, planting churches, done that. More to go, but we're doing it. Okay, so the part of it has come to pass, but there are parts of it I believe we're not yet in. And I believe God is reminding us again, this is the go that I want for you. This is what I've put over you as a church. Okay, so please, I'm going to read pretty much all of it. There are bits I've left out because there are some bits that are slightly different, you know, not quite about this, but I'm linking it to what the go is. Okay, I'll put it on the screen and then I'm going to share it so you can read it as well and so on. So I'm just going to read it. Okay, so God is positioning you to come out of one season, and come into another season in terms of his purposes and in terms of his plans for you. I really want to encourage you that your best days are ahead of you. Your best days are ahead of you. God is going to do some exciting things in the city of Hereford, and he wants to use this church as a platform, together with many other churches, I am sure. But he wants to use something quite unique in this church in terms of touching and changing the lives of people in Hereford. I have loved the sense of warmth, the sense of family that's in this church. And I want to encourage you in the next season, as many people from different backgrounds, different social groups, different hairstyles, creativities, different ear piercings, and piercings all over. I just can't get that one, but there we go. Begin to join with church. And family will be the thing that holds them here. Because you are going to get a whole lot of people that aren't going to look like you, or smell like you, or even talk like you. That's going to require us being family together. I think you are on the edge of breaking through into the next season of what God has for you, and I believe it is going to be very exciting. I want to say over this church that he is transitioning you to become a resource church. God is going to begin to use this church to resource projects in the nations. God is going to use this church to resource church plants and gifted ministries in the nations. God is going to begin to use you as a church to begin to unlock kingdom treasures in many different places that will act as resources for mission. I believe God wants to shape your church to begin to see yourself differently. It's not just going to be pastoral church that will look after one another, but it's going to be a church that is going to have a big picture of the nations. God is going to begin to use you to unlock opportunities of gospel advance in many nations. The Lord wants to say that your connections with Brazil is not by coincidence, but by design. And God will give you favor into some nations there, into places that there, and he is going to begin to release a dual blessing for them and for you. God is going to begin to do a significant move of the Holy Spirit amongst your young people. There is going to be a demographic change in this church. Suddenly, I love a suddenly, you never know what's going to happen. God is going to begin to add many young people from the ages of 15 to 25 in this community. And I believe there are some schools that are going to open up, particularly a big school that is going to open up for you, where you'll be able to get into and you'll be able to run programs and begin to give an open door for the gospel. God is going to begin to add to you young professionals who've become disillusioned with the rat race. They're going to find themselves here and they'll begin to say, surely we have found God because we've seen something we can give our lives to. I believe there is going to be a new emphasis on the work amongst the poor in this church. You will have an understanding how to get into some areas and how to advance things. There is going to be a significant work that is going to impact single women, single mothers, abused women. God will give you favor in this church to do with marriage. There will be an anointing on this church for helping marriages. It's almost like there has been an attack in the past in this area, and God is about to redeem it. Many people here will come here broken and hurting and find their partners and establish kingdom families as a result. There's a lot there, isn't there? But if you notice, we've gone from huge mission, and there's absolutely call for that. Write down. Single mums. Come on. Where do you fit? Where are you in that? Okay? Because I don't believe those people will come in unless we go out to walk with them, talk with them, and pray with them. Now, I'll be honest with you, I'm not quite into the piercings thing. You may have noticed. So when I see somebody full of them, I go, whoa, not really my person. Not really the sort of person I could engage with and walk with. But there's somebody here who will. There's somebody God has called who can do that. You know, young professionals. Maybe there are some here. You go, yeah, I know people. I'm one myself. And yeah. I'm not anymore. I'm an old professional. But there are so many people you can identify there. And I'm sure God wouldn't do that unless there are people here who can go and walk, talk, and pray with them. That is what we're called to do. You see, some of us are called to go to the nations and to reach unreached people. Some of us are called to go to this nation, to go to their city, their town, their village, their estate, their neighborhood, their street. Is that you? Some of us are called to go to their workplace, their college, their school, their social groups, the places of influence. Some of us are called to go to the poor, the hurting, the desolate, the homeless, the hungry, the sick, the disenfranchised. However, we are all called to go to someone with the gospel, the good news of Jesus, to walk with them in relationship, talk with them about our faith, and pray for them and with them, in the hope that one day they will trust in Jesus Christ the way that you and I do. And then they will be able to find somebody else and say, let me walk, talk, and pray with you. so that you can come to faith with the one that I have faith in. It's called multiplication. And that's the way God works. So I hope I've encouraged you this morning to really, you know, and spend time. If you don't know what it is, spend time. Maybe God will give you one name. Maybe God will give you one situation. But whatever it is, we are all called to go. And I really believe, prophetically, God is wanting to stir us again. You know, Trace did a wonderful job again. You know, come on. We've all got that go within us. What we've got to do is step out and see what God will do with it. And I believe as time goes on, we're going to see some amazing miracles. We're going to see lives changed. We are going to see this place full. But it'll only happen when we start walking with people, talking with people, and praying with people. Amen? Amen. Let's just close in prayer. Father, I just want to thank you so much for every single person here. Even now, you walk with them. You talk with them. And Jesus prays for them and us, because he's even now interceding on our behalf. Thank you, Lord, that even as disciples, as we make disciples, we're not doing it on our own, but we're in partnership with you, that we're doing it with you. In fact, you save, but you choose to do it through us, which blows my mind. But Father, I just want to pray for each of us, Lord, as we just grapple with what it means to go for us, for each one of us. Lord, I just want to pray that by your Spirit, you will just put a fresh sense of purpose, a sense of your calling on our lives, that we will once again just say, yeah, that's my go, and go in with everything we have. Father, we don't want to ignore our call. We don't want to be a generation that allows your word over this church to be unfulfilled. We want to see it fulfilled. I want to see it fulfilled in my lifetime. I want to see it fulfilled in the next few years, Lord. I want to see this place full of people who are following you because we chose to walk and talk and pray with them. Oh, Lord, thank you so much that it really is that simple. But equally, equip us as we walk with you to do what we need to do. Holy Spirit, come, anoint, empower, equip. So as we go out in authority, we will see demons flee. We will see people healed. We will see lives changed as a result. Just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.